Good afternoon, young professionals. We're here with Karen Bartleson, the incoming president of IEEE, and we're going to be talking about standards, the importance of standards, Karen's work in standards, her work with the IEEE in standards. It's all about standards today. Karen, welcome.
Thanks, Eddie. It's so great to be here.
Now, Karen, you've recently been elected as president of the greatest professional organization in the world, the IEEE. However, you're also very successful with your work that you undertake at Synopsys. Can you tell us a little bit about the work at Synopsys and what you actually do?
So I was hired at Synopsys 20 years ago to become their standards program manager. Synopsys at the time was not the leader in the industry, but they knew that as they were becoming more and more a leader, that their customers would expect Synopsys software to work with the software of other competitors. Because when chip designers design their circuits, they need to pass data from Synopsys tools to other tools and back and forth. So Synopsys said, we need to open up our interfaces. We need to be able to cooperate with our competitors. And of course, you do that with standards. But the challenge was that they'd never done it before. And so I was looked on as persona non grata. Oh, you're helping our competitors. You're going to put us out of business. It was really a tough job. And what it turned out to be was, of course, Synopsys never went out of business. Synopsys is now the leader in the EDA industry and has a reputation for being a champion of the standards and interoperability.
So you received a lot of criticism from your colleagues at work.
It was really scary. They would threaten me. It's a slippery slope. If you open one interface, then all the rest will be open and we won't be able to differentiate ourselves. But what they didn't understand is that standards are really cool because they allow you to cooperate in the interfaces and then compete on the products behind, making you more competitive, and it makes your customers happy because then data flows seamlessly from one product to the next.
So essentially, you're working that area as a leader out of Synopsys in this space.
In standards, yes. And of course, it's not just me. I then over time built up a team and we recruited people throughout Synopsys to go to the standards committee meetings. We trained them, we coordinated their activities and made them be experts when they would go to the committees and create the technical standards so that the company all pulled together in the same direction. And that was the heart of my program.
Fascinating. Now, going back a step, and this is an important question, many of our listeners won't be so familiar with standards. So what are standards and why are they so important to our organization and other organizations?
So there are different kinds of standards. There are technical standards. There are safety standards that protect our health and well-being. There are behavioral standards, cultural standards, but particularly the standards that I work in are technical standards. So they would be things like the very, very famous Wi-Fi 802.11 from IEEE. Standards basically are the way that everybody does something. So they can be a file format. They can be protocols. They come in various formats, but basically they are a specification. If you do it this way and everybody does it this way, then we will be able to make our products work together right and we'll be able to create repeatable processes following a standard description.
So without standards, essentially, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do in modern technology.
Oh, there would be no way. And I'll mention another very famous standard that we in our modern world use every day, and that's USB. That's not an IEEE standard, but it's another example of imagine where you'd be if you couldn't plug things in or if every single plug looked different. And finally, now with micro USB, we can ditch the myriad of car chargers and wall chargers that we used to have for our mobile devices.
And of course, mobile devices as well, you know, your cellular technology. Many, many years ago, it wasn't possible to actually take a mobile phone from one country and operate in another country. So standards have gone a long way in that space as well. Now, how did you get involved with standards?
I fell into it by accident. I was hired by United Technologies Microelectronics Center. They were putting together a design system, basically software tools that would design their radiation-hardened ASICs. And in order to do that, we were going to purchase software from other companies as opposed to write our own, because that was more cost-effective. We'd get higher quality design system at the end. And so in order to plug all of these pieces of software that we purchased together, we had to have standard interfaces, and those interfaces didn't always work. And so I ended up going to some of the committee meetings where they were developing those standards. One in particular that was very important was a standard library representation for the cells that we would build in our ASICs, in the gate arrays. And I started in one committee, I ended up in the next committee. Before I knew it, I was in governance and finally became president of the Standards Association. So it was never something that I thought I would do when people asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I mean, standards is one of those things that if you asked any student studying engineering and computer sciences, whether they wanted to be a standards decision maker, they wouldn't know where to start and how to get there. So
their eyes would probably glaze over and they'd think, no way. But I can tell you some stories about what happens at standards committee meetings. They're really interesting as people throw pens on the table and call each other bonehead. And it can be very entertaining at times.
Yeah, it sounds like a very fascinating job with lots of interesting moments. Now, you've also authored several publications regarding standards while working at Synopsys, including the book, The 10 Commandments for Effective Standards. Practical insight for creating technical standards. Can you tell us a little bit about this standardization cycle? How does something that seems so chaotic to the outside world become standardized worldwide?
So what happens typically is new technologies will emerge. And at some point, they become mature enough that consumers or customers, users, start demanding that they want things to start working together. And that's sort of a tipping point, a sweet spot, if you like, where companies realize that in order to maintain their leadership or in order to play in that market, they need to sit down at the table together and talk. They introduce then their own technologies. They make donations of their technical formats or their processes with the understanding, and this is key, with the understanding that those will probably be changed by the group, because other members of the group are going to contribute their own pieces of technology. So the group gets together and comes up with subsets, make sure that things will work not only for the producer, but for the consumer. And then after a period of months, sometimes years, the standard is produced as a document. And that document then is ballot upon, voted in various different ways, and then finally is published as a formal standard.
And from your experience, you know, there's a huge variation in how long it takes to process some of these standards. But what would be the average time that a standard would take?
You know, it's interesting. In the semiconductor industry, our technology runs so fast. You know, we get a new Moore's Law node every 2 to 3 years. So if we have standards that take longer than 3 years, the standard is obsolete when the technology moves on. So typically in our industry, maybe 1 to 2 years. We've done it in as little time as 5 months, and we've taken more than a few years. In industries like power and energy, where things are more stable, those standards can take 10 years, and they live a long, long time.
So it is heavily dependent on the particular area.
And dependent on how motivated the people are to get that standard taken care of.
Can you give us a few examples of standards which you have been involved with?
Probably the most interesting and challenging was called the United Power Format. Unified Power Format. It's been a while. This is a way that all of the design automation companies can represent low power design. And so a chip designer who wants to create voltage islands and different power techniques has to describe what their power planning is. And then each of the design automation tools has to be able to interpret that properly. So that format we called UPF. It is now an IEEE standard 1801. The reason it was very interesting and challenging is because the major players had different formats, and each player wanted their format to win. So we had what's typically known as a standards war, and there was name calling and threats, and it was really kind of great. But ultimately, what drove success was that the customers, in particular, if I recall, it was TI and Nokia who said, all right, you guys get together, you've got to solve this problem for us.
So do you experience a lot of that, you know, organizations lobbying for their own methodology to be incorporated in the standards and so on?
You do. And this is not only true in semiconductor, it's true throughout all industries. Because if your format or your standard becomes, you know, blessed by the world, then clearly you can get a competitive advantage. And so the people who are, you know, if you have two leaders, then both of them need to settle down and realize that they need to compromise.
So you'd say that ethics plays a big role in a lot of what's conducted in your work.
Ethics, but also getting back to my previous point, when the customer or the consumer says, you guys need to solve this problem, there's a lot of customer demand behind it, probably more so than ethics.
Absolutely. What would you say is the biggest challenge in the standards game?
probably the biggest challenge is overcoming the competitive nature and getting the players to go beyond their own parochial interests and focus on the ultimate goal. And certainly making sure that the standard is complete, comes out in a timely manner, is well tested, and will be adopted. If the standard is not adopted, then everyone has wasted their time.
Now, as president of IEEE Standards Association, you've led some fantastic initiatives, strategic plans, furthered the open standard paradigm, finalized IEEE's membership in the Global Standards Collaboration. Can you tell us about this work and how it related back to what you were doing at Synopsys?
Sure. So every organization periodically should review its strategic plan or its strategy and make sure that it's on target. So when I became president of the Standards Association, it was time for us to take another look. So we went through a very organized strategic planning process and came up with four strategic goals for the Standards Association over the next 5 years. We are going to expand our global presence. We want to continuously evolve our processes to make sure that the standardization process is the most effective and efficient as it can be. We want to ensure financial stability of the Standards Association. There's a little known secret that standards are not free. And so each standards organization has a financial model and financial interests that they have to watch out for. And finally, we want to be what's known as a learning community. There's a lot that professional staff of the Standards Association and all the 20,000 volunteers can do to improve the organization overall. And how that tied back to Synopsys, Synopsys was generous to allow me to present the strategic planning process to the IEEE Standards Association so they could do a good job that way.
It's fascinating that your work and IEEE work were able to align in many ways.
You know,
quite fortunate.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of people who volunteer for the IEEE have a very big challenge in that they have their day job or they're in an academic institution and they've got teaching and research going on. How do they devote their volunteer time to the IEEE? I was fortunate enough to have been able to blend those two. So my job doing standards at Synopsys was also my volunteer time at IEEE. So if people can find that intersection, I think it's a magical combination.
Absolutely. It's not always easy to find that magical combination, but I think most of us are looking for it. Now, last of all, I want to touch on young professionals. How do young professionals get involved with standards, and what advice can you offer to those who have an interest?
So if any young professional out there, if you're interested in getting involved in standards, I love you from the start, okay? The first place you can start is looking at IEEE's website, standards.ieee.org. But when you go there, you'll see a lot of very straightforward information about how to create standards, and there's policies and procedures and all that kind of stuff. The way you could really get involved is if you're working on a product and you know that there's opportunity in the marketplace to create a standard, or you're working on a product that has to implement an existing standard, go find the standards committees that are actually developing that standard. Volunteer to get involved. Every standards committee can use help. You'll learn how the processes work. You'll also learn some things about how you can make your company and your product more competitive, which is a secret to success for your company, that you will be helping them, not necessarily enabling the competitors. Feel free to send me email, k.bartelson@ieee.org, or to the current president of the Standards Association. I'm sure he would appreciate getting your email. But we're all here to help, and it's a fascinating, fascinating subject.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's been fascinating talking to you and learning more about your work with standards. And there you have it, IEEE Young Professionals. Karen Bartelson, the incoming president of IEEE, has devoted some time to have a chat to us about her work in the Standards Association. And across the board, lots of opportunities available for you. So do get in touch, and we'll hear from you soon.